Let us again seek the Lord in prayer. O Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can read Thy Word again and again. And every time we find treasures in it. Every word of it has been inspired of the Holy Spirit. And every one of it is to feed our souls. O Lord, may we find new blessings, fresh grace be given to each one. Even though we read a passage that is familiar to many of us, may we be strengthened and encouraged and instructed in the right way. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, this evening, I want to speak to you from this passage that we have read together about the blessing that the believer receives from Jesus Christ. The blessings that Christians enjoy even though they are in the midst of the storms of life. To be a Christian, it does not mean that you do not suffer, that you do not face trials in your life, that things do not go wrong for you. But in the midst of it all, you find Christ walking towards you. He walks above the storm and the waves. In the midst of it, you find Christ blessing your soul. These are the things that the unconverted do not enjoy. They are tossed to and fro. They, at last, if they are not saved, they drown in the midst of all their sin. But here, this evening, we have the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He's willing to save. And may there be one found here this evening, but that by God's grace would call upon the Lord and say, Lord, save me, as Peter did in verse 30. In this passage of the scripture, we find the disciples of our Lord trapped in the grip of a fierce storm. They find themselves in that Sea of Galilee in verse 22. These men are in the will of God. These are people who are trying to do what the Lord has asked them to do. Yet, we see them struggling. Struggling against storms. We find them fearful over their life. And the Lord Jesus Christ must have known it. He knew what they would experience. But try as they might, however, it appeared that they are unable to make any headway. The wind is in their faces. That's what you read in that passage. In verse 22, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Have you ever been in a situation like that? The wind is against you. Things in your life are against you. What shall you do? These 12 men are stuck in a storm. They can't do anything about it. What can they do? They row and they row. They cannot go anywhere in that storm. They are unable to get out. Can you get out of so many storms of your life? This is where maybe you are. Maybe now in your life, you're trapped in one of life's storms. And no matter how hard you try, how much time, how much energy you put in, no matter what you do, it seems that you cannot make any headway. Well, all experience these things in life. If you are not a Christian, who is the source of your hope? Who is the source, the rock on which you can stand? Who is that anchor in your life within the storm? The believer has Christ. The believer depends on Christ alone. He knows that he cannot trust in himself. He knows that he cannot trust in his own flesh, in his own strength, in his own wisdom? No, Christ is all. The only one who can save him. And the Lord had gone away praying. He had gone away praying alone. He had left these disciples to be by themselves, to see what they can do without him. They can do nothing. What a wonderful thing. What wonderful phrases you have in the Bible. In verse 23, it says, he was there alone. My friends, this is telling you that Christ is the only one. He is alone the only one who can save, who can keep, who can lead, who can take us to our heavenly home. He alone. I go to prepare a place for you, he says. I go, and then he says, I will come again. No one else. You cannot go to a minister to get your help that you need. Christ alone. You cannot go to your husband, your wife. You cannot go to a friend for that ultimate help that you need. No. Christ alone. He is the one who has all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. What do you do, my friend? Those of you who are unconverted, boys and girls, what do you do? When everything around you crashes on you, who is the source of your hope? Who is that one who saves you? I commend to you Jesus Christ this evening. Seek him. Say, Lord, save me. There are people who become so angry at God when things go wrong in their lives. I've talked to many people, especially at open air, when people begin to talk and they're angry at the things of God. And they say, but why did God take away my mother? Why did God do that? And instead of seeking peace with God, they run away from him. Instead of becoming angry, my friends, humble yourself. Seek him with repentance. Accept that everything bad that happens to us, we deserve because we are sinners against the Lord. The secular and atheistic society in which we live in has nothing to offer in these times. In times when people are facing storms of their lives. But there is good news for us this evening from the Word of God. While the storms of life are never pleasant, they do produce certain benefits in our lives that we would do well to take note of. These storms of life, they welcome Christ. They call upon Christ. These things that we experience. And in the midst of it, you must call upon the Lord who came. These disciples didn't even cry after him. But he saw them. And he came for them. What if they cried unto him? He would have come. He would have come sooner. But they tried. They were trying to save themselves. Are you trying to save yourself? Cry to him now, my friends. So here is the Lord. So let us join these disciples. Let us think through some of the thoughts that are given to us in this passage before us. One of the things that we do note from verse 25 is that the storms of life are God's means of transportation. Storms of life are God's means of transportation. The very thing the disciples feared. The sea was the very thing that the Lord used as the vehicle to reveal himself unto these disciples. So you read, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The very thing that was drowning them brought Christ to them. He comes to these disciples in the face of darkness. This is the thing that Christians have. Christ comes to us In the face of all the dark things we experience, He comes to us. He is there with us. And we see Him by faith. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ came to them in the fourth watch. It is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. It was very late or very early. During the darkest hours of the night, Jesus comes walking on the water. My friends, you may be walking in darkness this evening. You may be wondering, where is the Lord? Where is God in all of these things? You may be unconverted and you say, oh, everything I see in my life, I see my sins, I see my guilt, I see all of these things, troubles in family, troubles at work, all of these things. Where is God? Where could He be found? I cannot find Him. I don't see anything good in these things. But for the Christian, we look to the Savior. We know what He has promised to us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, He says. So where is the Lord? Where is He? Maybe you are going through the darkest days of your life. Let me remind you that even in the darkest hours of life, God is still God. In the most stormiest times, seasons of the year, when there are dark clouds, as there was yesterday, sunshine in the morning, storm in the afternoon. It was still shining. The sun was still shining. However dark the clouds were, and God is still God. His powers do not fail. They do not diminish. He is there controlling all things in our lives. We read in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 12, some wonderful word by Solomon. The Lord said, he says, that He would dwell in the thick darkness. What a thing that is. That God dwells in the thick darkness. And that was a comfort to Solomon. In the worst situations, God dwells in it with me. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from me. He says, everything I see is darkness in my life. But then he says, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. To God, there is no darkness. To us, there is darkness. But to God, there is no darkness. Day and night is the same to Him. So that's why Christ, it did not matter to Christ what time of day it was, when it was, what were their circumstances. He was there to save them. Even the darkest hours of life cannot hide you from the Lord. Why do you hide yourself often? Why do you hide yourself under complaints? Why do you hide yourself by adding sin to sin? By saying, okay, I will carry on in this lifestyle. Oh, my friends, don't add to these things. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Do not hide from God. He sees you in the worst situations. He is there when even you cannot see Him. So He comes to them through over the sea. He comes to them in the face of this disaster that they face. These disciples were in a battle for their lives. Mark tells us on this account, the parallel passage, Mark tells us that they are toiling in rowing. They are rowing for their life. They will be drowned if not. They were struggling against the storm. So you get this impression that these are men, seafaring men, used to such conditions, and yet they are filled with fear. They're afraid. They're toiling and rowing. They're doing that because they will lose their lives. When they thought all hope was gone and they were doomed, the Lord Jesus Christ came walking on the waves. This is our Savior, my friends. This is the one that we proclaim. This is the message of His salvation. That yes, this life, this world is filled with storms. Why is there a storm in life? Why is there darkness in life? Because sin has entered into this world. Sin has affected everything in this world. It seems that everything is against man. There is thorns and thistles growing everywhere. In every country, there are thorns and thistles to prick man's hands. Man has to work by the sweat of his brow. He has to provide for his home and for his need. All these things. Why? Because the land, the earth, the world has been cursed. Sin has entered. Everything is tainted. And it is in the midst of such things, while people sitting in darkness, Christ comes to save. And then there are Christians facing all of these things. It seems that they are nearly drowning. And they experience again and again in their lives answers to their prayers. They're sustained, even though they seem to have nothing. They seem to have lost everything. Still, the joy of the Lord is their strength. Still, there is some faith remaining. Even though everything else is extinguished, yet the Lord, somehow, they are living. Somehow, by a thread, they are hanging. Why is that? Because it is of the Lord. It is the Savior who keeps them. And then He comes to them at different times with blessing. What has the non-believer has? What have you, my friends, who do not know the Savior? There are people who are battling in their lives, unconverted people who are battling with the same kinds of things. But instead, many, instead of looking to the Lord, looking these troubles and say, I must seek the Lord in this situation, they carry on. They let themselves drift with all the waves that come against them. They hope that they won't make shipwreck in life. They think, no, I just have to carry on and carry on the way I have been. Still not seeking safety in the Lord. They don't seek safety in forgiveness. Remember, my friends, God does not necessarily keep you from going into the storm, but He will keep you in the midst of the storm. That's the Christian's testimony. Every Christian can say, I have gone through water, I've gone through fire, but the Lord has been beside me. I have not often felt His presence, but as I have gone through things, I look back and see He has been there. He has been there. He has answered. He was watching me. He took my hand. He cared for me. This is the Christian's testimony. You think about the many times that we read in the Scriptures of the Lord in the midst of His people, saving them. You remember the three Hebrew children who were cast into the furnace by Nebuchadnezzar? There was one in the midst. You remember Daniel and the lions? Who shut the lion's mouth? You remember Noah being saved by the ark? What was the picture of that ark? Jesus Christ. The Lord kept all these people floating on the surface. The Lord kept all these people alive. And there was not even the smell of smoke on the clothing of those men. God did not prevent any of these people from going into their storms and dark days of their lives, but He saved them all in the midst of their storms. This is the Christian's testimony. So as you look at this, you say, do I have this Savior? Why do I not seek Him? Why do I not know Him? Well, He is there, my friends. He still gives us time again and again. So many Lord's days have passed. Sundays have passed. You've heard similar messages. Seek the Lord now. What a thing Christians have. What a Savior we have. And in these things, the Lord says, trust in me. Have faith in me. I am the one who controls everything. I am the one who sends you the storms in your life so that you would see me walking on the sea, upon the storm. He comes to them, my friends, on the face of the deep. The very thing the disciples feared, the raging sea, was the very thing God used as His vehicle to come to them. Imagine if Christ came in another way. Imagine if Christ came in a boat. It wouldn't be the same. But He came. It was the sea that was His vehicle. It was on the sea that He walked. The sea brought Him, as it were. The very thing that was drowning the others kept Christ on the top, on the surface. He wasn't saying to these disciples that the storm was not fierce. He was, through these things, telling them that He was greater than the storm. Christ, His grace, is greater than any sin we have committed. A lady said to me recently, "But you don't know my sins. You don't know my sins." I was telling her about the gospel. I said to her about the way of salvation. I said to her about heaven. And she said, "But I don't think I will ever go to heaven." And it broke my heart to see this lady who was in her 80s say such words. And she said, "But you don't know what I have done." She didn't tell me what she had done, but she said, it is horrible things. And God will not receive me. My friends, Christ is greater. His grace is greater than anything that we can imagine or think. He saves to the uttermost all who come to Him by faith. You look at yourself then. You look at your sins. You look at the consequences of your sins. There are those of us who lament, "Why did I do that? And now, even for the rest of my life, I have to suffer in this way. I have to go through these things. I have now certain responsibilities that I wouldn't have had if I did not sin." And these things are like great mountains, great waves crashing again and again, reminding us of our past into our lives and nearly drowning us in them. This is all sin, we say. But Christ is greater than them all. He walks over them. He was raised between heaven and earth on that cross so that He might be our sin bearer. He carried away our sins upon Himself. And God poured all of His wrath, was focused on Jesus Christ. And He was consumed under them so that we might be forgiven. My friends, this is the one who walked on the sea. This is the one we are calling you to believe. That is the one who said to Peter, "You can also then walk on that very thing that you think is drowning you." This is the life of the Christian. He now then lives looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of his faith. The Christian is then who walks over all of these issues, all of these things, all of these temptations. He walks over them. All these trappings of Satan that comes, all of these things, the Christian walks over them. He keeps looking to Christ, and Christ saves, and Christ works, and works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure, the Scripture says. And the Lord uses our circumstances to make Himself known to you. Why do you think certain things have happened to you? Did you not think that it is possible that Christ is making Himself known to you? He desires to see Him in the midst of all of these things. The very thing you fear is used by Jesus Christ to show us mercy. People often fear that their sins and their guilts, if it was shown publicly, they fear that. But if God shows you your bankruptcy of sin, then we must see the reason for it is that He desires to save. He shows us these things so that He might save us. These people were drowning, and the Lord shows them He is the only one who can save them. And then, moving on. Storms are God's testing or means of testing. And that is again something else we see. The storms of God's means of testing. It says in verse 26, "And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.'" And then we read Peter saying, "And Peter answered Him and said, 'Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water.' And He said, 'Come.' And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." These things reveal to us the Savior. When the Lord Jesus Christ did come walking on the water, the disciples didn't recognize Him. They didn't know who He was. They thought He was a ghost, He was a spirit. And so they cried out of fear. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ came with a message of peace, a message of power. He came to them with a word of peace. "Be of good cheer." He came to them with a word of power. "It is I," He says, "it is I, the Son of God, thy Maker." He came to them with a word of assurance. "Be not afraid." That's what He says to you, even tonight. The storms of life have the potential to reveal the Savior to us in a way we may never consider before. When He comes to us, walking on our storms, He gives us the same message of hope that He gave to these disciples at this hour of darkness. A message of peace. "Be of good cheer," He says. They were still in the storm. He had not gave peace and stilled the storm. And in the midst of it all, in the midst of all the noise and the howling and the wind and all of these things, He says to take courage, "Be of good cheer." This word has to do with the heart in the original. He says, "Have a strong heart. Be of good courage. Take heart." And so He says to you, "Take heart. Take heart, all of these things." Yes, you will hear all the sirens all around you telling you of your guilt. Oh, Satan is telling you of the fact that you have sinned and God will never receive you. And the Lord says, "Take heart, be of good cheer. I am here. I am here. I am the Son of God. It is I," He says. That's the word of power. "It is I." He comes to them with that message. "It is I, only Christ." It's the same word that is used, this term, "it is I." It is a very strong word in the original. It is the same kind of word that is used when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the bread of life." When He says, "I am the door, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the good shepherd." "It is I," He says. "I who has revealed Himself to you before, who's promised these things to you before. It is I." So you get the picture. Jesus is telling these disciples to be of good courage. God is here. God is here. If we have Christ with us, if we are hid with Christ, then all is well. Whatever storms may come, all is well. It is I. And he says, be assured. Be not afraid. That's the command that he gives us. Be not afraid. Only believe. And this phrase that is used here literally would read, you stop fearing. And don't ever, it is a continual word that is used, don't ever fear again. Don't ever fear again. You see, if we can ever get hold of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the control of every area of our lives, that He is God, He is the Son of God, He is the Savior, and that He possesses all power, then we can come to that place where we can trust Him fully, wholly, through all the storms of life. This is what the Christian has, my friends. Is this what you have? And so he reminds the believers. He says, these things are tests of you, for you. Who are you looking to for your strength and help? Is it to man? Is it to yourself? Is it to some method? Is it to some book? Or is it to my Son, Jesus Christ? This is what God says to you through all of these things. And at times, He let us just go under so that He might show us that we cannot do anything by ourselves. And then it is that in the midst of all of that, we cry to God. He hears from, without saying it, He hears a sigh and He saves us. This is how it was with the children of Israel. The Lord says He heard their sighing while they were captives in Egypt. So the storms of life serve to remind us of who is in control. God is in control, my friends. The Lord is in control of every one of us, every part of our lives. Give yourself wholly to Him. Trust in Him with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, the Scripture says, acknowledge Him. And He will guide you. He will save you. When we do, then He truly redeems. And then, let us finally think about this. That the storms are God's means of testimony. They testify of His power. The storm testifies of Christ's power. We read in verse 32, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. It testifies of His power. The Lord Jesus Christ, He calms the storm. He didn't say a thing in this passage. He simply got into this boat with the disciples, and the sea was calmed. There was no action. There was nothing that He performed, as it were, that was visible to the people. But He, as He entered, there was peace. And one day, you are toiling, you are battling against your sins, against the world, against Satan, against all of these things. And then He comes to you and brings peace. And then maybe the battle will rage again on other things. But He comes to you again, brings peace. This is our God, my friends. The storm will rage until it has accomplished God's purposes, and then He will cause the wind to cease for you. All He shows us this evening is that He is in control of the storms of life. It isn't me and it isn't you. The Lord Jesus is the master of the sea, and He's the master of the storm as well. They testify of His power. They testify of His person as well. When the Lord Jesus Christ stilled the storm, the disciples knew that they were in the presence of God. They were in the presence of the Son of God. They bow and worship Him. They confess him and they bowed before him. His power in the storms and over the storm of life testify of his person. He's truly the Savior. He's truly God's Son. He's truly our friend and helper. Is he your God, your Lord, and your God? Do you acknowledge that he's in control of the affairs of your life? Or do you give that glory to Satan? Do not give any glory to Satan and say, Satan has done these things. No. Ultimately, God is in control of all things. This was the issue with Job. You read the life of Job. Who was in control of everything in his life? All the bad things that happened to him? Did he look to the third party, Satan? No. He says, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He said it was God trying him, testing him. Christ receives all glory. He is our Savior. For the Christian, we say he is as our testimony. Christ has taken me. He carries me. He is my hope. Yes, I fail again and again, but he saves me. I say to him, Lord, save me. And he does that. He tells me to come. I go. When I look to him by faith, he makes me to walk on the storm. But when I look away to my own shame, I fall. But then he answers me. He's so patient with me. He hears me again and again with my little faith. He, as a faithful father, he comes and chastises me when I need it. He instructs me. He guides me. All of these things we have as Christians. He never changes, but he changes us. Oh, my friends, listen to these things. Who is the master over your storm of life? I remember reading last week of a ship that was wrecked in a furious storm. And the only survivor was a little boy who was swept by the waves on a rock. It was a day or so later that they found him. He had been sitting on that piece of rock all that time through the night. And the people had spotted him and rescued him. And someone said to him, didn't you tremble while you were on that rock during the night and during the storm? And that little boy said, yes, I tremble. But the rock did not tremble. The Lord Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation, the Bible says. The rock of our salvation. It is on him that we stand. It is on him that we live our lives. And he saves us and keeps us. May you seek him with all your heart as well. And as believers, may you also keep looking to him. Give him all the honor. And truly trust him. And may he prove to you that in the midst of it all, he will enter into your boat, into your ship, and he will keep you. Amen.